Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. Our email address is afternoon@newstalk.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. Declan Buckley and Mary McAvoy are here once again to solve every single possible problem
everything
to a really satisfactory conclusion.
Absolutely,
because we're
we expect nothing else. We won't let you out.
Everything.
Yes. Here is your first question. My husband and I have been together for over 20 years. In truth, most of that time we've had a very toxic fight style, in that I come with a problem or something I'm hurt over, and he'll get defensive and quite angry. I realise now that I have been gaslit throughout our relationship. He has no empathy. I can watch me break down and leave me in my pain, showing absolutely no love, comfort or support. He had a very difficult upbringing, so perhaps in his eyes, this is a functional relationship, but in mine, it's not. I'm worn out from this. We have a young family and I don't want to fight in front of them. He's being very rigid with the kids, doesn't play or have fun with them, and lately is only speaking to them to give orders or give out. He has refused to go for personal or marriage counselling for many years, saying we can sort things out ourselves, although agreed to do anger management after a particularly fiery episode. He's never been physically abusive. I, on the other hand, have been going to counselling for years, and I think the relief I get from those sessions has kept me going. We used to have a very active sex life, but since our last baby, I've lost all interest. We still have sex infrequently, and he's not been happy about this. If I bring up how unhappy I feel or our lack of connection, he refers to the sex. He has started sexting and sending me pictures, something he never did, to get me in the mood, but it breaks my heart, as I've on multiple occasions asked him not to do this, as it makes me feel uncomfortable and disrespected. I'm worried that he is depressed, but he won't go see our GP. I'm as low as I've ever been. I cry in the car whenever I'm alone and pull it all together whenever I'm wherever I'm going. I'm exhausted and I'm questioning myself. Maybe I'm being dramatic and oversensitive. Is this normal life and it's just sucky?
No,
it's certainly not.
No, it's not normal life. This broke my heart when I read it it's just, you know, what struck me, I don't know if you feel the same, Declan, is like this woman is so vulnerable, you know, and it's all very well to say, oh, this can't happen and this shouldn't happen and But she is vulnerable and I don't think that she has it within her to be proactive in terms of anything. But, you know, what she is describing is emotional abuse, and emotional abuse is now illegal. Issue now. But I can understand how she has no fight left in her, and I don't even think a fight would be a very good idea, because if he's agreed to go to anger management after a fiery incident, then it must have been pretty fiery for him to agree to go to it. Now, one doesn't want it to go to the next level, you know. So I think what I would suggest, if she's going to counselling, maybe, I don't know whether she's going to counselling, obviously we don't know, but maybe she should go to, you can go to sort of marriage guidance counselling alone, and they might give you targeted advice about how to deal with something like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think she should keep herself safe emotionally and indeed possibly physically. So what I would suggest would be to literally sit down in a quiet place and literally unplug from him. Do you know what I mean? Almost. And just say, whatever I think I need from him or whatever is never going to come, so I'm going to stop looking for it, you know. I'm not quite sure I about the pictures, and that is so disrespectful.
It is, yeah.
It is beyond. But just I think she has to nurture herself in some way. This sounds all very, you know, woo, you know, but in some way nurture herself, strengthen herself in some way, so that in the future, she will have the strength to do something a little bit more, you know. I'm not sure if he's just going to say no, and we can work it out ourselves. And yes, I understand that he's had a terrible upbringing and he might view it as normal, but it's not normal.
No. He's clearly a damaged individual.
He's a very damaged individual, and he's causing hell for this woman. So I really think she has to, you know, just be very mindful of protecting herself, but strengthen herself in some way. And she may need to change the counsellor. She may need to change the way she's getting advice. I'm not sure. And I feel quite careful about saying anything because it is a very delicate situation.
Yeah,
just protect yourself if you're listening, you know, and try and find that strength. Try and just unplug from him. Say you're not going to get what you're looking for. You're not, you know, and just see where that takes you. If it can take that tension out of, at least that tension out of your life, out of, you know, so that she can find something else where that's something else to her life where it's not just about being in an unhappy marriage. If there's something that can, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Declan.
You know, I agree with you. I think the first thing that that struck me when I read her letter is that I'm glad that she's already going to counselling, because that would be the first thing that I would have said. Yeah. You know, you need to find a way to trawl through these feelings and these emotions. I noticed as well, in her letter, she's using language that that helps her to describe what it is that she's going through. She's describing the way in which she brings something to the table for a discussion, and the reaction is defense or anger, that there's feelings like being gaslit. And then she's talking about pain and all of this stuff, the language, that, because I think the first thing that people often haven't done when it comes to the problems that they have within relationships is they haven't found a terminology that they can use to help them describe exactly what it is that's bugging them about what's going on.
Yeah.
And having a language, having something as a kind of an abstract concept to kind of go, well, that's what it feels like to me when this is going on between us. It's a safer way of expressing those feelings. I do think that she's had the kind of the cotton wool taken out of her eye in terms of the relationship that they've had, because they've had this relationship for 20 years. Mm. She's been a participant in this relationship that's now being labelled toxic. And I'm not saying that's not the correct label for it, but I'm saying that it's now being understood to her as being toxic, which means that it's now being analysed, and now a consequence of that analysis has to come through, which is either, as you say, that she has to kind of disassociate herself from the relationship in some way, or she finds a way to fix it. And it seems to be that his reluctance to look at that is a really big kind of thing to surmount. You can't get over that obstacle because, you know, if he's not going to participate in trying to fix things.
And usually they don't, those people won't.
That's that's a really big problem. Yeah. Because, again, I don't know what way the discussions go when these concerns are put on the table and he reacts defensively, and how quickly they escalate, what part in the escalation, what does she do to, like, I'm not saying that she's blamed in any way, but I'm saying what way, how does it just that he flies off the handle immediately? Is he just so incapable of acknowledging the problems in their relationship, or even just in his own behaviour, that it immediately goes to
defence?
Yeah, and anger. And if he did go to the anger management classes or whatever they're called, how long did he go, and did he even acknowledge that they did any good? Because that's the whole part of the problem. Because if he's going there and he's discussing with a trained professional the fact that he flies off the handle and he's not actually coming to any self-realization, they're all in the column that goes, this guy isn't going to change.
Yeah.
This guy isn't going to change. Yeah. And that's really sad, and it's a really big problem.
Mm. And just there was one other thing there that struck me when she talked about being really tired and exhausted and crying all the time.
Yeah.
And would it be worth going to a doctor? Because this kind of stuff can really, you know, cause major depression. And maybe you might need something just to give you that, just for a while. Nobody's saying, you know, take it forever, but you might need something to raise your mood a little bit so that you have something in your arsenal. You need everything in your arsenal for this. You need to be able to disassociate from him. As the fella says, let him off, you know. It's not easy when you're living with somebody like that. But she thinks
he's the one who's depressed, though, which is really interesting. You know, that's kind of like,
it's kind of Stockholm syndrome, or not Stockholm, the other one.
It's projection. Yeah. And you go, oh,
well, he may be depressed.
Yeah.
But one can say that, like, her depression is from a situation she's just described quite clearly. Anyone would be depressed in that situation.
Yeah.
I would have thought. Few comments on this. Also, we should say, now, obviously, as she says, it's not been physically abusive, but we should. I just want to give out the Women's Aid Helpline. Yes. It's 1800 341 900. That's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. you don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily have to be physically abusive for you to ring them up.
Yes.
That lady should get a written report from her counsellor just so there's a paper record for her own good. Now, this is an interesting one. Emotional and verbal abuse is what I have been dealing with in my marriage for many years. I'm going to counselling, just not strong enough to leave yet.
Yeah.
Is this what we're dancing around, really?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but isn't that thing, is it not strong enough to leave? Is that you're not emotionally able to take the step? Or is that you still have hope about salvaging the situation?
I think it's the kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think she'd like to save it. She's obviously tried multiple times to get him to go to counselling, go to a GP. She obviously wants to do that. But I suppose you reach a point where you think, which if I imagine myself in a situation without him, would that be better than the situation I'm in now? And I'd be prepared to go through a lot of hassle and stress and financial stress and legal stress and all the rest of it. To get to that point. That's really what it is.
I mean, in very much in the past, I know there was a marriage that I wasn't familiar with, but I knew. But the person who, it's almost exactly the same as this, but the person literally did dissociate. She didn't leave. She just dissociated and she kind of went, this is me and the kids now.
Yeah.
And he's over there. But I haven't said it wasn't that abusive. It was more just silence and that sort of thing. It wasn't that kind of. I just worry about the fact that he agreed to go to anger management because it obviously scared him enough.
Or maybe he got to the point where maybe we could have been calling the guards or if he's smashing up the house or that kind of thing.
No, it's not on. It's just not. But it's all very well for us to say that.
Yeah.
She's got to protect herself. Emotionally in every way. And I do think she should go to a GP as well. But I think the Women's Aid is a really good idea.
That woman's description of her relationship exactly matches my experience. I split from my husband after 23 years and 4 children came into the marriage. That was 20 years ago. And I raised the family myself. I've no regrets. I now know he was a narcissist and I wish I'd known what that meant.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the thing. That's obviously a woman who's come out the other side of it, but it's a hell of an effort to get yourself into that position.
And just one other thing I would say, when this seems like an impossible mountain to climb, you just take it day by day and hour by hour, but you keep on moving in a direction that's healthy for you. But you don't have to think 6 months ahead. You just manage this day now. And how can you keep your mental health and your kids' health and everybody safe? That's what I...
That's a factor here because... You know, he's very rigid with the kids. He doesn't play with them. You know, I mean, so she's thinking about her kids' well-being as well as her own.
It does seem to me, though, that this guy in this, you know, her husband is, he seems very stunted. He seems very, like, blinkered and involved in his own stuff. Like, he's aware of his own feelings and his own pain and his own anger. But he doesn't seem to, like, she describes him as having no empathy. So it's kind of like that. I don't know how there's any way in to where he is.
Yeah.
And yet that there is that kind of powder keg scenario going on there. So you can totally see how it's terrifying for somebody because you don't feel that they have the capacity to understand the danger that they're implying.
And that's
terrifying.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's in a similar situation. It's truly awful. I do not know what to say to her. As she's not ready to leave. It's heartbreaking. Anyway, we'll move on to, and there's millions of other comments as well, similar to that. Move on to our next question. Hi guys, I work in an office and I've noticed something about my co-worker recently and I don't know if I should say something or keep my mouth shut. He keeps stealing stuff and thinks I don't notice. We make fitness accessories and every time a new product comes into the office for inspection or design reasons, at the end of the day, he will take that home. A few weeks ago, our boss came in looking for a foam roller that was due to be shipped out for a client but couldn't find it. Is a foam roller a fitness accessory?
Yes, it is. It's a very important part of your fitness.
Oh, sorry. I must have skipped that class.
Stretching out your muscles at the end of a session, Mary.
Quads.
Is not it?
Quads.
Okay, they're both doing exercises now. Anyway,
go on. Down on your quads, Mary.
The boss just assumed that he had misplaced it, but in fact, I saw my colleague take it up. It doesn't just stop at stuff we sell. He takes our office merch and other bits that he thinks are just left around. I'm getting worried because I'm always in the office the same time as him, and I don't want to get blamed for something I didn't take. Should I go to management and raise my concerns about him, or should I say nothing? Also, if I'm directly asked about him in the future, should I tell them I've seen him take stuff, or should I play dumb? It's really worrying me, as I love my job, and I don't want this robbing idiot to get in the way.
Yikes. Yeah, this is a really awkward situation because the letter writer is quite clear what their own moral compass is telling them is happening there, that they see something happening and they're going, this is stealing, and they know it's wrong and it shouldn't be happening. And while I know that's probably true, there's a very dangerous thing that happens in workplace situations, that you can get yourself into trouble by saying stuff, but you can also get yourself into trouble by not saying stuff. So depending on the size of your organization, you might find that there's like a policy about this kind of thing already in place that says, we'll actually kind of give you the answer to your dilemma, because we'll actually say clearly in print that it's part of your employment contract that if you're aware that X, Y, and Z is happening and you do not notify your management, you'll be assumed to be involved in the thing. And that's kind of, you know, as good as saying is you're guilty. And that guilty might not be like a criminal prosecution, but it could mean the termination of your employment in the place. So if you can find out whether you have any of those policies there, I would do that first. The other thing to consider is often in the situations, people might make the assumption that what's been nicked, stationery, bits and bobs of questionable value, and they might believe that it isn't that serious a scenario, and yet they still might have that same dilemma about whether they'll be in trouble for not telling, you know, the bosses or whatever that's going on. In that situation, I think the best thing to do would be to work out whether or not your concern is whether your colleague or the person in the other department is going to have an opinion about you if you speak up. If you are in a situation where you see it happening live, I would suggest that you just say something in the moment, going, are you bringing that home with you? That kind of thing, kind of casually, without, you know, you're not implying anything. But what we'll do, we'll actually let the person who knows putting the, you know, the stapler in their bag know that you know that they're doing something that you're not really sure should be happening. And if they react with like nonchalance or whatever, you now know what their kind of moral perspective is in the whole thing. And then you can take the next step afterwards.
But there's something in the letter that made me think, is this guy, the guy who's taking things, just a dork who thinks they're just lying around and he can take them home anyway?
Well, this is what I meant. This is why I think it's kind of, it is, that kind of leaps out at me too, is that wondering whether or not the person doesn't actually have the intelligence to realise that you're robbing something. You're actually stealing something, Bernadette.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't belong to you. Yeah. You know, that was in like first class. Yeah. We learned that
one. There is a bit, but I suppose it's where you, like most people, if you work in an office, and you need an envelope.
Yeah, yeah. You see, that's
acceptable, obviously. But
it depends. About, you know, people have this kind of view. Well, you know, this thing. Well, you know, we work for this big mad tech company, and they don't even pay taxes in this country. Why shouldn't I take an envelope? Whatever. So there's this kind of, you know, there are weird kind of worldviews that people can have. But the bottom line is, for this person, it's about whether or not the implications, that the consequences land on their lap.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to be pulled in or blamed or in any way, then they're, you know, they're within their rights to be a little bit kind of, you know, what's the word, vigilante.
So Mary, is a foam roller over the line?
Oh God, yes.
Oh right, okay.
Oh my God, yeah.
How much would a foam roller set you back?
But the thing is, if you could say to your man, like the next time he's taken, I don't know what, one of the foam roller or a yoga mat or whatever, just say, you do know that this is, it's not, we're not supposed to take these things home. Like,
or you could say, oh, don't take that, you know, Christine, because the last time Tommy came in and he was looking for the yoke and he thought I took it.
That's the great
way. That's the kind of way you handle it. But you have to do it like casually and do it immediately. Yeah. And none of this kind of, you know, after the fact kind of, because if you don't have evidence of it actually happening, you're kind of, you know, that's kind of an awkward situation to be in.
Yes, meet dishonesty with dishonesty.
Straight.
I think that's a really good way of doing it.
Call it out straight away. Yeah. Let them know that they've been seen and that you're also concerned about it. That's what you do. Because otherwise you end up in this kind of, well, you know, what will happen if I get hauled into the tribunal, you know, and then that's all just happening fantasy in your head about what's going to happen in the future.
Okay, there's kind of a mixed view.
Oh, good.
On this one, it should be said.
Stealing is stealing.
Right. Okay, well, first, hang on, it's jumping about on me here. That person should definitely say something, request a meeting with management, just tell them what they saw. I'm sure the company will be professional enough to keep their identity out of it. Someone says, I just borrowed that ruler. I'm returning it tomorrow. And that's from johnnysfitnessbits.ie.
And yeah. Clean it, Johnny.
Yeah. Do go to management. Go straight to the guards. Snitch him out. You'll feel great. I just hope for his sake that the foam rollers in jail are as squishy as the ones in the office. Stealing from your office isn't a big deal. It's fun too. Someone else says, come on, we all take stuff from work. I work in a phone shop. I'm texting off a brand new iPhone right now.
Oh, what's their name? Get me one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, can't believe you don't know what a foam roller is. P.S. Rat him out.
That's the thing, though, is that like people are using the word like rat and snitch because have this kind of ambivalence about that. But the reality of it is that it could happen that because you didn't snitch them out and you didn't rat them out, you're an accomplice and you could lose your job. So I understand the worry there, but, you know.
Yeah, snitches get stitches, according to one of our listeners. That's presumably somebody in prison already. So could you tell us what the foam rollers are like there? As a manager, if someone came to me ratting about other employees, I wouldn't view it as a good thing.
You see, that's
two ends of weird, I think.
That's two ends of weird. This is even more weird. I've put tea bags from the office down my trousers because it was a warm day and I had no pockets or a bag.
Were they used tea bags?
No. They were by the time they got home. Mother of God.
Why wouldn't they?
That's a strong cup of tea you make there, isn't it?
Well, they lives are berries, though.
I love the extra little bit of hair on the tea bag as well.
And the film of sweat.
No.
I'm 29 years old, working in an office environment, and I see the most unusual stuff stolen. To be clear, it is 100% wrong. He needs to nut up. He needs to go to management, state what he has seen as fact. The management and company need to sort it out. This may be a refresher on the company policy, etc. He likes the job. He wants to stay there. It is not his issue that some plonker is stealing.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was trying to say. But I also do think that there's other kind of social dynamic issues as well. Like you end up being the one that ratted out the popular guy who had to lose his job. Then.
And you see here, people have a tolerance for it.
Easy to be all like, that's the policy and it's really clear cut. Mm. But, you know, workplace policies don't always translate into a whole scenario where everybody in happy
could get shivved for his trouble. My husband and I are at odds over what to do with the inheritance we have for our children. During the Celtic Tiger, we built up a property portfolio. Mm. And we're in the fortunate position now that we can sell them in positive equity. A portion of this money will be spent on our retirement, but there will be a substantial amount of money left for our children. I'd like to give the children the money they stand to inherit now so I can see what they spend it on and help them with projects like home renovations. My husband... I want to stand in the sideways wagging my finger at you. My husband, on the other hand, thinks we should keep the money and it should be left to our children in a will when we pass away. I don't see the point in this, but he says it's the cleaner and more secure thing to do. My husband and I didn't have a lot of money when we got married. Our children grew up in a very working class background, and any success we have is down to hard work. I want to see them enjoy the fruits of our labour. How do I convince my husband that this is the right thing to do?
It's not the right thing to do.
But how will they know?
Hold on to the feckin' money, Mrs. No, look, I think that is just... No, I mean, that's... First of all, can you imagine the scenario where she's seeing and she's picking out colour schemes and sofas and everything?
Helping.
That is...
Just helping, deciding, helping.
There are more rows and battles in that than I can, I can't even think about it. Secondly, you don't know what's coming down the line for you and your hubcap.
Yeah.
You keep the money. If you want to see what they spend it on, maybe, say, give them a third of it if you really want to. But you're crazy. Your kids are, just don't do it. I think it's mad. I know that's not very subtle or anything, but feck it.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that in this one, there's two different worldviews. There's her worldview, which is one where she wants to play the benign kind of like...
thanks, mammy.
Buffett handing out the giving away all her fortune before she dies. And there's loads of reasons why that might actually be tax efficient. I'm not a tax accountant, don't take me for that. But I do understand that, but I do think that there was elements that we laughed at some of the telltale signs of her getting a little bit too involved in what her children decide to do with their money. Her husband's perspective sounds to me like he's a bit more wary. And he's, that too. But I think his own experience means he's kind of going, well, until we know we don't need this money, let's just play this one out.
Yeah.
It's the most secure thing to do for everybody to know that we're okay and we're not needing to go back to the kids and go, we underestimated them.
Can we ask?
Do you mind knocking down the extension now?
Yeah, exactly.
Also as well, I think, like, okay, they've worked hard and, you know, played the property market, blah, blah, and they're lucky enough to be in that position. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
So, like, the thing is, like, if he's going, I want to go backpacking around Thailand for 6 months, she's going, I know, I wanted to give Mary new curtains.
If the kids have good jobs and they're not going down, you know, they're not going down some road that you don't want them to go, leave them alone. They'll be grand.
It does seem to me this is more about what she wants in terms of what she actually wants them to do with their lives. She's been a little bit controlling.
It'll break your heart, missus. I'm telling you, it'll break your heart.
If they take the money and they decide they want to go backpacking around, whatever.
Some of them, if they have a son who wants to go to spend it in every brothel in wherever. Like, are you going to help him with that? No. Yeah. You just don't know.
Well, I assume she's probably making this decision now. There may be one of the kind of the dodgy son.
I'm exaggerating the point.
But even if they do, and this is like wildly overstating it, but like if she does have a dodgy son, that's why she has a dodgy son. And like, I must say, I've seen this, the kids of rich people act differently.
Yes.
They'll go to school, they'll go to college, but in the backs of their mind, they know they don't really have to work as hard as anybody else because they're going to inherit all that stuff.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
They'll end up sitting in a big house that they didn't earn a shilling off.
And I think that's letting them down too, in other words. I know, Mrs. I'm with your husband there now.
Yeah. The day you give away their inheritance, that is the day the countdown starts before your kids stuff you away in a home.
Yeah. And not even a good one either.
Not even a good one. They won't pay for it. Mary and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.